Welcome back to episode number 5 of Practical Defense, Pickpockets. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Addicks. If you hear a difference in my voice this week, it's because I'm just getting over a throat cold, and I hope it won't be too distracting during the show. But anyway, this week, after that wonderful interview with Dr. X, we're going to return to our theme of travel safety, and this week we're talking about pickpockets. So back in episode number 3, I discussed safety in hotels. But what do you do once you're out of the hotel and you're moving about through the city and the countryside? Well, when you're out exploring on your vacation, there are a lot of things you can do to reduce your vulnerability. You know, and other than theft in from your hotel room, you're most likely going to face pickpockets and purse snatchers when you're out traveling. And I found this to be true in Europe, South America, and Africa. I haven't heard too much about pickpockets in North America, but there's a lot of purse snatching, and it's pretty prevalent out there. First off, traveling is the perfect time to use your throwaway wallet. In fact, when I'm out, I'll actually stock up my throwaway wallet and pay for cash from the items in addition to my real wallet. And what this does is it splits my money between two locations so that if someone does decide to lift my wallet, they only get half of my carrying cash. And secondly, it makes my throwaway look that much more legitimate for anybody who's scoping me out and checking me out. If you're unfamiliar with throwaway wallets, you can go back and check out episode 1 of Practical Defense. I spend that entire episode discussing how to build and how to make a throwaway wallet. And there's also an article on my website with pictures of throwaway wallets at alexhaddicks.com. One of the things you can do to thwart pickpockets is to keep your valuables on the front of your body and against your body. Now, what this means is don't put your wallet in the back of your pants pocket or in your coat pocket. An inside pocket of your coat, it flaps away from your body and you're not likely to feel it. Unless, of course, you know, you keep your coat zippered or buttoned up. And then it's, you know, kind of protected. But if it's just in a suit pocket in your coat, it's easy to bump into you and lift it. So what you want to do is you want to place your valuables on your person as close to your skin as possible on the front of your body. And the reason why the front of the body is more sensitive. You're much more likely to react to somebody touching your front of your thigh rather than your backside. And once, in personal experience, carrying my wallet in the front of my jeans saved me from being pickpocketed. Now, what happened here is I was in middle school at the time, and, you know, as kids screw around, the current gag at my school was to run by and yank the wallet out of somebody's back pocket. Now, it was always done in fun, and it was never done subtly, but it got me into the habit of carrying my wallet in the front of my pants. So, at the time this happened, I had already had about 3 years of traditional martial arts training, and my father had been mugged and our house burned down. Again, you can get more details on that in episode 1. So, although my crime awareness wasn't honed, it was still pretty sharp. I was aware of things going on. And what happened was we were at Disneyland on a field trip. So I was in a crowd of my friends and we were waiting to get on a ride when I felt a very soft fingertip pressure on my left buttock. And then I heard a woman say, "Nothing here." I spun around to figure out what was going on and I saw a woman disappearing into the crowd. And standing above me was this giant of a man. I mean, I was, you know, 12 or 13 years old, and this guy was huge. I mean, he was head and shoulders bigger than everybody else in the crowd. I just remember looking up at this guy going, "Holy crud." You know, in the mind's eye, thinking back as a teenager, this guy was as big as Godzilla. And he had a look on his face that was clearly saying, if I said anything or did anything, he was going to beat the crap out of me. So, how depraved do you have to be to steal Disneyland money from a teenager? I mean, come on. But, you know, as we heard in the last episode from Dr. X, there are tons of people out there that really have no morals about taking things from other people. So here's how they worked the scam on me. It was a two-person team, and the woman was a lifter, and Godzilla, as I'm going to call him, was the muscle. What she did was she walked up to me and turned around so that our backs were together. And then she dropped her hand and just pushed back against my butt. And she just used her fingertips to feel to see if there was something hard in my back pocket, like a wallet. And she was facing Godzilla. And when this woman, all she felt was, you know, 13-year-old ass instead of a hard wallet, she called it off. And all the meanwhile, Godzilla was standing there watching over her to cover her escape and, you know, scare me off in case she got discovered, which she was. If my wallet had been there, what she would have done is she just would have lifted it and bolted while Godzilla ran interference for her. And there's no doubt in my mind that if I had done anything, I would have taken a severe beating that day. So did I report it? No. I was a 13-year-old kid, and they didn't get anything. But today, if it happened again today, I would definitely make my way to the security office and let them know that they had some pickpockets work in their areas, and I'd tell them the ride that I was on and things like that. One of the most common ways for a pickpocket to lift something for you is to bump into you. And what this does is it gives them the excuse to actually make contact, so you aren't necessarily going to notice them, you know, feeling around and digging around because, you know, they bumped into you. So while that contact is made, what they do is they lift whatever item they want out of your bag or purse or pocket. Now, sometimes they work in two-man teams where one person distracts you with a question, or they bump into you, or they force you to drop something, or they drop something on you, and then the second person walks by, helps out, or whatever. Sometimes they just kind of flash by, and then the second person does the lifting. And when it comes to lifting, it can be anyone, and they can look like anybody. And I really mean it. I mean, it can be a kid, it can be a professionally dressed woman, it can be a man, or any combination of types and teams. And you're really not going to necessarily be able to pick them out of a crowd by just looking at them. And again, drawing on personal experience and personal experience of family, in France, outside the Eiffel Tower, the pickpocketing is so bad out there that the police have even posted signs alerting tourists to the, you know, prevalence of pickpockets. And what happens here is that, you know, everyone's got their necks craned up and they're looking up at the Eiffel Tower, and the pickpockets just walk around and lift things while they're distracted and, you know, gawking at the sight. Everyone's looking up, no one's looking down and keeping an eye on what's going on, so, you know, they're easy prey. So the thing is, though, that can happen anywhere at any monument. Just not, I mean, it's really prevalent at the Eiffel Tower, but it can happen anywhere at any sites. You know, looking up at the pyramids at Egypt, looking up at, you know, mountain ranges or at views or things like that. You can always, you know, and look, you can gawk, you can ooh and ah at the sites, but don't lose your situational awareness, because when do criminals strike? They strike when you're distracted and vulnerable. Sometimes, however, you really just can't win. When my parents were traveling in India, my father witnessed a shoeshine man lift the leather insert, the leather lining of a shoe, right in front of him. I mean, right in front of him. Well, he didn't quite witness it because it was there, and then poof, it was gone. And my father noticed that it was gone, so he was aware of what was going on, and he got angry and he argued with the guy and made a big fuss about it, and then poof, you know, it was back, just like magic. The guy was so fast that my father didn't see him take it, and he didn't even see him put it back. So my dad was fully aware of what was going on, and he was focused on his shoes, and he still didn't see it. But, you know, because he was aware and because he noticed it was gone, he got it returned. So, you know, keep your awareness. Awareness, awareness, awareness. In Peru right now, one of the popular tactics to steal items from tourists is to slash bags, you know, especially backpacks. And what they do is they come up from behind and or the side of the bag, and they slash open the side with a sharp blade. And as things start pouring out of your bag, they run up and they grab things that anything that looks valuable, cameras, cash, you know, whatever is in there. And as the stuff's pouring out and you're trying to scramble to pick it up, they nab stuff and boom, they bolt with it. You know, and backpacks are a very popular item for tourists. I mean, when I'm out and about, when I'm traveling on vacation, I wear a backpack. So, again, something to be aware of. Again, also, it's on your back, so you don't necessarily see things coming up from behind. And again, they're attacking your vulnerable points. Now, another tactic is something I learned from a friend of mine who spent several years living in Argentina. And what he told me is that they're doing down there is that the thieves actually use the razors not to slash your bag, but to actually slash your hand. So that if you're carrying something, they use a razor or a needle or a knife or something to slash your hand and get you to drop what you're holding so they can pick it up and run with it. And that one really gives me chills because the last thing I want is to be slashed or poked with something sharp by a criminal. Now, Nairobi, Kenya is one of those places that I will never visit again. The crime there is just completely out of control. I was back there in 1994, and when we were there, the gangs, they owned the streets, and they preyed on anything that they could, anything that they can. It was unbelievable. Now, when I was there, I was with a large group of family members and friends, and we were all pretty seasoned travelers, so we stuck together and we moved in groups. But everywhere we went, we were sized up by groups of men that were just loitering on the streets. And you could tell, they were looking at us and they were glaring at us as we're just, you know, walking from the hotel up to like the zoo and things like that before we're waiting to go out on our safari. And carjackings there are common and they're brutal. See, in the United States, a lot of the times what the carjackings do is they come up and they put a gun to you or they just grab you and yank you out of the car and they jump in and they drive away with the car. But in Kenya, they just shoot you in the head. They don't ask. There's no warning. There's no option to relinquish the vehicle. They walk up and go bang, bang, and pull your corpse from the car, leave you on the street, and then they drive away. And it was kind of a macabre joke, but as we were riding on horseback, we joked that we felt safer, completely unarmed and completely exposed to lions and hyenas and leopards as we, you know, rode across the plains on horseback than we did in the city amongst our own kind. And friends who have visited Nairobi since then tell me that the place has degraded even further than when I was there. And although it's absolutely beautiful countryside, for anyone wanting to visit Africa, I suggest that you look into other locations if you want to go on safari. And a key to safety when you travel is traveling in groups. And that's especially true for women. And my wife and I, we just returned from a trip to the Andes Mountains in Peru, and we had a fantastic group of people that we were with, who were all experienced travelers, and our guides really took very good care of us. What we did was we always moved in groups, and we always stayed in the areas that were heavily patrolled by the tourist police. And I did see a few unsavory types checking us out, but we were left alone, and we had absolutely no troubles. Although, I am certain that if one of us had strayed far from the pack, there was a pretty good chance that that person probably would have had something taken. Peru's a poor country, and although everyone we came across was really nice, they were very personable, they're very generous, they're friendly. But the thing is, poverty can make even the nicest person desperate. And that said, I would return to Peru. I would go back. In fact, this was my second trip to Peru, and we really had a very good time. The last tip I have for this episode is for women carrying purses or bags. And this tip can be used whether you're traveling, whether you're out in the town, or even if you're just shopping. And the thing is, when you're traveling with someone, keep the bag that you're carrying between you and your companion. So if your friend is walking on your right, keep your purse or bag on your right side between the two of you. You know, conversely, if your friend's walking on your left, keep your bag or your purse or whatever on your left side. And what this does is it reduces the availability of the bag to anybody wanting to snatch it, anybody walking by. Because it's between the two of you, it makes it much harder for the thief to reach into it, cut the strap or whatever, and snatch it from you. And of course, we can't forget our rule of thumb. Always keep one hand free. You know, you don't want to encumber yourself by carrying so many bags that you need to use both hands. You always want to keep that one hand free to defend yourself. All right. Well, to summarize our tips for this week, we have, when you travel, use your throwaway wallet. You want to keep your valuables and wallets and certain things like that on the front of your body and close to your body. And pickpockets can look like anyone, man, woman, child, can be dressed any way and be in any sort of combination of teams. And you want to keep your bags between you and your traveling companions. Keep it to the inside. Keep it protected. Use your body as a barrier from the stuff that the people might want to take. And, you know, enjoy the sights. Enjoy being on your trip. That's why you travel. But always retain your awareness. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.